I hope you all had a fantastic Christmas, and we're still celebrating all that God did at CCV over this season. But now we're looking at 2026, and I think all of us are ready to live our best life yet. So we're going to kick off the year. I'm so excited about this. Going through the book of Genesis is the very first book of the Bible. It's a big book, and it's a big deal. This one book, Genesis, covers 3,000 years of history from Adam to Abraham and the establishment of the Hebrew people. That accounts for half of the history of the entire Bible. So it's more than history. It's more than a story. It's really about family. In fact, in the Hebrew, they call this book Generations because it's the generation of the famous forefathers of our faith. It tells the story of Adam and Eve. That's one generation. They're the first couple. Then the story of Noah. That's another generation. It's a whole family. Then the story of Abraham, the father of our faith. That's a whole nation. And Abraham gave birth to Isaac, the promised child. And he gave birth to Jacob, who was the father of the 12 sons who become the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, those may seem like foreign names in faraway places, but the closer you read, the more reflection you see in a mirror of our own families, good and bad, our own journey of faith, our own wrestling with the place and people we find ourselves living among. Genesis is more than the beginning of the Bible. It's the beginning of us. So, as a church, we're not just going to listen to sermons on the weekend. We're going to engage with this book as a family with a book that we've produced for you, our family. Here's what that means. When you come to church next weekend, you're going to be given the book we produced. It's a guidebook for reading Genesis. It'll have space for you to take notes, guided questions for discussion for groups, articles that unpack some of the big questions about the book of Genesis. And we want to encourage you to bring that book with you each week as we go through it as a family. We recognize that reading the Bible is our foundation of faith and practice. But let's be honest, this can be intimidating and it can be confusing. After all, it's got a lot of funny names and faraway places, weird laws and foreign practices. So today, I want to walk us through some simple, practical steps every one of us can take that'll help us read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and apply its truths to our lives. What's the secret to unlocking these scriptures for the common Christian? To hear from God and to build your own faith, your family, and your community. You're going to walk away with practical tools and, I hope, confidence to read, understand, and apply the Bible to your life. So let's start with this. The foundational verse where the Bible talks about the Bible, it says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, 2 Timothy 3:16. So how do you use this book for teaching, for correction, for training in righteousness? That's what we're going to talk about. And I want to suggest four steps that will help you read the Bible with confidence and put it into practice. Step number one, get a Bible. This is the New International Study Bible, and I love it because you have an entire encyclopedia of information right here in the margins, in the footnotes, in the back of the Bible. All kinds of tools that will help you understand the words and maps and timelines. It's super helpful. And another thing I love about this, there's room in the margin to write your questions. So if there's something you're reading you don't understand, just put a question mark and ask a pastor on the weekend. I also love about this, while I'm reading a physical Bible, there's never an alert pop up out of it. There's never an ad that pops up out of it. So it's a way of reading the Bible without the distractions of a phone. Now, I'm not opposed to the phone. In fact, I'm going to suggest that you download on your phone the YouVersion Bible app. Here's why. It has hundreds of versions and in different languages. And it has the ability to listen to the Bible. It'll read it to you. So if you're driving or getting ready in the morning, it's a tremendous asset. But the biggest thing is, it has Bible reading plans for everyone at every stage, from 3 to 5 days to the Bible in an entire year. You will love it. YouVersion Bible app, they just passed 1 billion downloads. So it's going to give you access to all kinds of tools that aren't necessarily in a physical Bible. So it's helpful for your daily devotions. It's helpful for reading, listening. It's pretty spectacular. Next, you're going to want to have a plan. Now, for the next 7 weeks, we're providing it to our church family, a Bible reading plan through the book of Genesis. It'll be part of the book that you receive, but you can, for the next 7 weeks, just join with the family. After that, you can look for a Bible reading plan for singles, or for grief, or for hope, or for mental health. They're all out there. But for the next 7 weeks, it's going to be Genesis. For those of you that are brand new, after we finish the 7 weeks, I would encourage you to just read the book of James. 5 simple chapters, 1 week. And after James, move to the Gospel of John. It's an easy book to understand. It's very accessible. But there are plans for all of us, newlyweds, athletes, business leaders. Again, YouVersion Bible app is going to be your go-to resource for Bible reading plans. But part of your plan is not just what to read, it's where to read. A physical place where you can sit without distractions and a pen to write down what God's telling you to do with what you're reading, as well as writing down questions you have, and maybe some other people can help you work through those questions. I would target about 15 minutes, just for simplicity's sake, 5 minutes of reading, 5 minutes to write down questions and applications, and 5 minutes for prayer. That's a great place to begin. If you've never done this kind of thing before, that's gonna get you started. Okay, here's where it gets practical. It's the 111 tool. Basically, the 111 tool is you read one chapter a day, and then you focus on one verse, maybe underline one single verse out of that reading, and then you obey that verse for 1 hour that day. One chapter, one verse that you obey completely to your ability for 1 hour a day. And before you know it, your biblical literacy is just going to grow in your life, and you are going to reflect the character of Christ. Third strategy is, you need to know what you're looking at. The Bible's a big book. It's easy to get lost along the way. So let me provide a roadmap. This Bible is not a single book. It's 66 books, kind of a small library in one volume. This library is broken down into two parts, Old Testament, New Testament. The Old Testament's the thicker part. It's about 2/3 of it. And it describes the history of the Jews. There are tons of names in that first part. I want you to focus on just 3. For this roadmap, Abraham. He's in Genesis. He's the one that founded the Jewish nation. Moses is the second book of the Bible. It's the book of Exodus. He rescued the Hebrews out of Egypt. The third name is King David. Yeah, he's going to cover multiple books. He was the most famous king over the nation. There's lots of other names, as you can see in this chart. But don't caught up in all the names and all the dates. Just know that there's a unified story through all the names. We'll get to that in a moment. But all the names, all the sacrifices, all the events lead up to the person of Jesus. That takes us to the second part of the Bible, what we call the New Testament, because Jesus offered a new way of knowing God. We're not merely his creation, not merely his chosen people. We are his children, forgiven by the sacrifice of Jesus. The big names of the New Testament are Jesus, of course, and then his two most famous foundational leaders, Peter. He was the main apostle for the Jewish people, and Paul was the main apostle for the non-Jewish people. He became a Christian after Jesus had returned to heaven. He's also the one, Paul, who wrote most of the letters we read in the New Testament. There are, of course, many other names, but these are the big three. Finally, and this is important, you need to know what you're looking for. Here is a list of all of the 66 books of the Bible categorized by their genre or their kind of literature. There's something for everyone and for every season. I'm not going to go through all of them for sake of time, but here's some of the biggest needs and the books you could turn to meet that need. If you're struggling with family discord, you're going to find a lot of family trauma in Genesis and some ideas and tools for how to create a family that honors God. If you're raising children, you should head to the book of Proverbs. These are like bumper stickers of God's wisdom. There's, in fact, an interesting reading plan because Proverbs has 31 chapters. Many people will read the book of Proverbs in every month that has 31 days. For a young married couple, you might enjoy the Song of Solomon. Believe it or not, it's actually kind of a guide to intimacy for young couples. The ancient rabbi said that in your younger married years, you turn to Song of Solomon. In your parenting years, you turn to Proverbs. In your elderly years, you turn to Ecclesiastes. There's something for everyone and something for every season. If you want to know Jesus, man, the four Gospels, take your pick, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. For those of you going through a really tough time of suffering, Job is going to sit in it with you. Psalms is going to help you worship when you're on the mountaintop or in the valley of the shadow of death. James, he's going to give you invaluable life coaching. And Galatians, man, he's going to set you free from legalism. Whatever else you're looking for in the Bible, the most important thing is to find Jesus and have a relationship with God through him. I know the Bible's a big book, and it can be confusing if you get lost in all the details. So let me show you the simplicity of the unified story of the Bible. I love this illustration. You can fit the entire Bible on two hands. And I want to show you how all the Bible is one story with Jesus at the center of it. Okay, if you have a pen, you got to try this. And if you don't have a pen, go get one because this is fun. I'm going to ask you to write on your hands, and I'm going to do it with you. Trust me, it's going to be really insightful when it all comes together. We're going to let your left hand represent the Old Testament, and we're going to let your right hand represent the New Testament. And so what I want you to do is take out the pen, and on your thumb, I want you simply to draw a down arrow on your thumb, because what you're representing is God created the world. God's in heaven, and then the world he created, so a down arrow. Then on your pointer finger of your left hand, I want you to write an up arrow, because this is when God told the Israelites, you're going to go to Egypt, and then he pointed at Pharaoh and said, let my people go. After Exodus, on your middle finger, what I want you to write is just the number 10, 10, because that represents the 10 commandments. It is the epicenter of the Old Testament. All the rules of the Jews all derive from these 10. On the ring finger, and this is appropriate, is a ring finger, I want you to just draw a crown, because that's going to represent David and his kingdom. On your left pinky, a lot of the Bible, the prophets, they're probably the hardest thing for people to read because it's like old language and there's a lot of different nations and it's a lot of trauma. I want you to do three concentric circles, like a little chain, three linked circles representing a chain. Because of Israel's sin, God sent them into exile. So there's the whole Old Testament on one hand from Genesis to Malachi. Now we go to the New Testament. This is going to be harder because I'm right-handed. On your pinky, I want you simply to draw a cross. That represents Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is the story of Jesus. Next to the cross, on your ring finger, I want you to draw a circle. That represents the empty tomb. And that's the story of Jesus, that came, lived among us, died for our sins, and rose again. On your middle finger, I want you to write L2. In the Old Testament, you had 10 laws. In the New Testament, those are reduced to 2. And both of them begin with the letter L. Love God, love people. So the new law is love. And this is the center of all the New Testament. What all the letters that Paul is writing, it really is about loving God and loving people. On your pointer finger of the right hand, I want you to do an up arrow. Because again, this is a commission. In the Old Testament, God said, you're going to go into exile. And now God is saying, you're going to go to all the world. So the book of Acts and all the adventures of the apostles and Paul in the book of Acts, it is all about going to the ends of the earth. And we're still doing that today. Then on your thumb of your right hand, you're going to do another up arrow, because this represents the book of Revelation, where we go to a new Jerusalem. This is the story of the Bible on two hands. Now, here's what I want you to do. Put your pinky together, and you're going to see the exile of the Old Testament led to the cross of Jesus, because he paid the penalty for our sins, so we don't have to be in punishment anymore. And then we combine the king of David, the kingship of the Old Testament, with the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection is when he became king of our lives. And then you combine the two laws. The Old Testament had 10 laws with hundreds of others added to it. We only have 2 laws that encapsulate all of the laws of the Old Testament: love God, love people. Whereas in Exodus, they were sent into slavery. Now we are sent to all the world to set people free. And just as God created the earth, heaven met earth, now earth meets heaven, when we live with him forever in the new heavens and the new earth on the new Jerusalem. This is the entire story on two hands. So now that we've got the whole story, now that we've got to the end of the Bible, let's go back to the beginning and start with Genesis. And for that, we'll see you next week. Holy Father, as we dig into this book about families as a family, would you help us to see you as our Father like never before, and begin this new year in 2026 as a time and a place where we allow your word to shape our lives, in the name of and to the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll see you next week.